There he is.
No.
And Andrew, you'll walk.
Tracy.
Tell me where to read the statement, yep, and these amendments and everything as well.
All right, we are back in session. Commissioner Fish has joined us for the record. Carla, could you please read items 616 through 621?
616, conduct a proposed use hearing on state shared revenue. 617, certify that certain services are provided by the city to establish eligibility for state shared revenues. 618, approve accepting funds from the State of Oregon under State Revenue Sharing Program for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2018 and ending June 30, 2019. 619, create and rename various funds and update the fund statements of purpose for various funds. 620, adopt the annual budget of the city and establish appropriations for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2018 and ending June 30, 2019. And 621, approve levying taxes for the city for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2018 and ending June 30, 2019.
Very good. Director Scott.
Great. Thank you, Mayor and Council. Andrew Scott, Director of the City Budget Office, and I'm joined by Claudio Camposano, Assistant Director. Good afternoon. We're here to adopt the budget for fiscal year 2018-19 today. As usual, there are a number of procedural steps we need to go through. We are also going to just briefly, once we get to the adopted budget ordinance, show you the new adopted budget dashboard that we're putting on Portland online website. PortlandOregon.gov website that gives a little bit better access to some of the information, so we're excited to show you that as well. So, Mayor, we start off with a proposed use hearing on state shared revenue, and there's a statement that you can read in the record.
Very good. This hearing is being held by the City Council of Portland, Oregon, in compliance with the provisions of the State Revenue Sharing Regulations, ORS 221.770. It is to allow citizens to comment on the proposed use of these funds in conjunction with the annual budget process. As proposed for council adoption, the fiscal year 2018-19 budget anticipates receipts totaling $20,031,436 from state revenue sharing under ORS 221.770. As has been the case in prior years, it is proposed that this revenue be allocated in equal parts to support fire prevention and police patrol services. Is there anyone here today who wishes to be heard on this subject?
No one signed up.
Very good. I'm now closing this hearing to discuss the proposed uses of state revenue sharing.
Great. Thank you. So after that hearing, we now go on. Council considers a resolution to certify that the city meets eligibility requirements for state shared revenue, and state law requires that we provide a number of services as a municipal government. This resolution certifies that we do so.
Very good. So we take a vote on the resolution?
Yes, we do.
Do we take testimony on the resolution?
Yes, I believe.
Is there any public testimony on this resolution?
I didn't have a sign-up sheet. Sorry for that one.
Is there anybody here who would like to testify on this resolution? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The resolution's adopted.
Great. And so now the third and final step in receiving our state shared revenue is to consider an ordinance that accepts the state shared revenue. After holding our hearing and certifying we're qualified, we now just need to accept it.
Very good. Is there any further discussion on this item? Is there any public testimony? Seeing none, call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, it's good that we do get some shared revenue from the state, even though Portland gives to the rest of the state more than we get back. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted.
Great, thank you. So the next stage, this is an ordinance that creates and renames various funds and updates the fund statement of purpose for various funds. So within the city, we budget in a number of different types of funds. And again, under local budget law, council needs to take action to create or rename those. This particular ordinance this year approves the following fund closures and creations. It creates the Cannabis Licensing Special Revenue Fund, which will allow for more transparent tracking of cannabis licensing fees and penalties in relation to program costs, allow for multi-year management of the resources by the fund manager, and facilitate the overall management of the program. The ordinance also renames the Recreational Marijuana Tax Fund to the Recreational Cannabis Tax Fund. And finally, it adopts and makes changes to the fund's statement of purpose for these two funds and several OMF funds to reflect a reorganization of the Bureau of Internal Business Services. In addition, Comprehensive Financial Management Policy 2.04 states that each fund shall have a statement of purpose. This ordinance updates those statements for a variety of funds.
Very good. Is there any further discussion on this? Is anyone signed up to testify on item 619?
I did have a sign-up sheet for this one.
Anybody want to testify on 619? Seeing none, Carla, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
All right. The ordinance is adopted.
Great. Thank you. All right. Now we are to the actual heart of the adopted budget process. So the next ordinance you have in front of you will adopt the 2018-19 budget. I'm going to walk through in just a few minutes changes changes to the approved budget that have been filed now as the adopted budget. In addition, we can take any amendments at this time as well. And as with the approved budget process, any amendment needs to be moved and seconded for consideration and discussion. And then there will be public testimony and we will adopt the budget. However, I want to take just 4 or 5 minutes to walk you through a dashboard that we have created with this adopted budget information is intended to make it much more easily accessible for the public to understand what's in our budget, to be able to drill down a little bit into specific budgets. You may or may not know, if you haven't picked one up recently, the printed budget document is about 600 pages. That's just volume one. There's also volume two and volume three still?
No, we
eliminated volume three, which is good. But not surprisingly, very few people ever pick up the printed adopted budget. We print 15 or 20 of them every year, and we give them away for free. And even at free, we can't get rid of them. So most people do access the budget online. However, accessing a 600-page document online is somewhat challenging as well. So we've been looking for ways to create new and better tools that people can access that information. And Aaron is here to just walk you quickly through that dashboard, which I think you all have on your screens in front of you.
Yes.
Yes, great.
All right. Aaron Kaufman, City Budget Office. We are excited to show you our new interactive adopted budget dashboard, which is now available on the City Budget Office's website. We built this dashboard as a learning tool for city staff and the community in hopes of greater transparency and accountability. We are also inspired to build a tool like this in part because of What Works Cities and PDX process improvement, which we spoke to you about yesterday. The dashboard begins with an overview of the budget process and ends with program-level budget details. We'll give you a brief 2-minute demo of the product today. So first, how is the city budget developed? You can hover your mouse over these different steps and learn more about the budget process, including budget monitoring. When is the city budget developed? This is an interactive timeline, and you can see today's date down here, and actually today, June 7th, council action to adopt the budget. Scrolling down a little bit more, we wanted to explain the difference between general fund and non-general fund, so you can hover over and see which bureaus interact with the general fund and non-general fund based on percentage. Get a little more information about it there. Going forward, you can see all the bureaus by service area, and you can also hover over there and to see a little bit more information about what bureaus fall under what service area. And you can also filter by fund if you want by clicking on this up here.
Aaron, could you actually show them that real quick?
Sure.
That's all funds right now if you switch to general fund.
Yeah, we can see the public safety.
That's great. Yeah.
Is higher. And then non-general fund down here, public utilities is the highest.
Do we have to draw so much attention to the public utilities? Can we shrink that one a little bit and maybe...
And going forward, this says, you might recognize this, this is based on the mayor's proposed budget dashboard that we released about a month ago. This is updated with the adopted budget information, and it's by mayor's priorities, and you can actually click on the priority here, increasing housing options and reducing homelessness, and see what decision packages are going to that priority area. You can also select by bureau, too, to see which bureau, like the Housing Bureau, for instance. You can see other decision packages going to that particular category. Moving down, what are the city's revenue sources? You can see the different revenue sources, taxes, service charges, beginning fund balance, things like that. And you can also check by bureau. And again, going to Housing Bureau, we see, you know, let's go to Fire and Rescue. You can see general fund discretionary is most of their resources. And you can hover over to see a little bit more about where they're getting their revenue. Next one is city's expenditures. It's the same as above, but on the expense side. And you can also go by bureau as well, and fund type you can sort that way. And lastly, this is the, I think, the best part of the dashboard, where you can see program-level budgeting. And it's by bureau. You can't do the whole city because it would get a little messy. So we have it by bureau, and for the Portland Housing Bureau, for example, their biggest expense is on affordable housing and homeless services. And you can hover over to see what those actual programs are. And historical budget trends, and then also staffing levels. You can see those patterns as well. And that's the dashboard.
Can you go up to the top for a second? Andrew, under the number one, how is the budget developed? First of all, this is superb and easy to read, and so kudos to everybody who worked on it. You know, one thing that a member of the community may be most motivated to learn about is, in this what looks like a fairly complex and convoluted process, where is my voice? How do I use my voice? Is there a little primer sheet that says, you know, you can join a citizens budget committee or testify before the Bureau Budget Advisory Committee or whatever, get in here, you can lobby, you can reach out to the mayor on the proposed budget. There's a period of time in which you can go to the mayor or any member of council before they approved, and then, you know, get someone to champion your cause on the adopted. Is there sort of a citizen's guide to how to actually use your voice in each of these?
So we have some of those features that you just mentioned. On the timeline, you can see public engagement opportunities. Here are all the different, like, public hearings, public community forums, things like that. And then there's a link to the CBO's website that has a little bit more information, but we can certainly fill that out a little bit
more. Yeah, so that there. So, you know, if you want to get involved, click, and then that there is a page on the CBO website. But, it, you know, it's a great point, and figuring out different ways to highlight that for people as they come here. There are different places. We want to make it really easy for people to be involved. One of the things I do want to stress is this is, I won't call it a beta because I think we've been working on it for a while, but we are rolling it out this year and really looking for feedback. And so either feedback from your offices, feedback from bureaus, and feedback from the public. It is relatively easy to make tweaks and adjustments and changes to it, which is one of the benefits of this. And so we hope to improve it, you know, moving forward.
Right.
It's fantastic.
It really is.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
We wanted to show that. And again, we'll be monitoring, you know, how many people use it, right? What the advertising a little bit as well. And when we talk to community groups or other people, and, you know, we do get a lot of calls and people ask questions, and directing into this and seeing if they're able to get the information they need. And then again, getting that feedback. What's the information that they're not able to get that we may be able to add to future versions of it? So with that overview, let me go into some of the specifics of the adopted budget. And we won't take a lot of time on this, because again, we've been through a whole process here. But what I want to highlight is just the changes, some of the major changes from the approved budget into the adopted budget. And you can see this in Attachment B of the ordinance. There's a change memo. The vast majority of things in this change memo are purely technical, and they're just adjustments to IA levels or technical changes that a bureau has made. We do list them, and again, we can take questions on any of those if you have them. But I just want to run through, really, it's just three or four items of note. And I know, and I wasn't over here, but I, because we were preparing for this, but I do believe you approved the business license tax increase. Is that correct? And we do note in here in the change memo, there was a slight adjustment, well, not slight, but there was an adjustment in terms of the amount of business license tax we'll be receiving in the first year from that because of how tax years fall with fiscal years and the assumptions in terms of when bureaus, when businesses will pay that new tax. However, we were fortunate that business license taxes are running high in this current year, and so we were able to make that. It's a technical zero adjustment, but I do want to call attention to that. Then page 4 of the change memo, there are two OMF-related changes that, again, are not they're not major changes. Well, I want to highlight them for their decisions that you're going to be dealing with in the future and revolving around Portland Building. And so there is a decision package in here for technology in the reconstructed Portland Building. And what the action does is it draws about $2.7 million of out of contingency, you know, making it available for this technology project. Council hasn't approved that yet moving forward, and so what OMF's plan is to draw about $258,000 of that while they work through these early steps. They'll be coming back to council during the latter half of 2018 to request both approval for and funding of the overall project, and they do not intend to spend any more of the $258,000 draw from contingency prior to that council approval, but they are moving those funds. We wanted to highlight that. Similar, there's a similar decision package for the development of an integrated print management system for copy and printed at the Portland Building. And again, that's listed in the change memo, but they would be drawing some funding out of contingency so that they can start that project. Again, not planning to spend any more than $25,000 before they come back in the latter half of 2018 to get formal approval. But that is a change that I want to note because council hasn't considered the full package to date. But again, OMF will be coming back on that, and I think they're here to answer any questions you might have. I did want to note within the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, there is a change to add a program specialist position and redistribute just under $72,000 from neighborhood coalitions, other neighborhood coalitions to the East Portland Neighborhood Office. And then in addition, Commissioner Yu Daly is taking money out of her current year budget and transferring and carrying that money over to help fund some of those offices in next year's budget as well. And then I believe those were all of the substantive changes. Again, there's a number of other technical changes, and we're happy to answer questions about those. But given that this is what the adopted budget was filed, and now if there are any council amendments, now would be the time.
Very good. Colleagues, I have a number of amendments that I'd like to make, and I'm happy to have the budget office discuss any of these if you have follow-up questions. First, I'd like to offer a motion to increase funding for the Special Appropriations Competitive Grants Fund. This would increase the Special Appropriations budget by $350,000 in the Recreational Cannabis Fund resource for competitive grants. The funding source will be an increase in beginning fund balance resulting from underspending on those grants in the fiscal year 2017-18 year. This amends attachments B, C, and E as necessary.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Carla, could you call the roll?
Fish.
Actually, we should see if there's any testimony. Sorry, just in case.
You're correct. That's absolutely right. I should have checked. Is there any public testimony on this amendment? Thanks, Director Scott. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Yu Daly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The motion carries. Colleagues, I'd like to also offer up an amendment, a motion to increase position authority for the Portland Bureau of Transportation. This increases the position authority for the Portland Bureau of Transportation through the Transportation Operating Fund by 29 FTE. The funding source for these positions includes internal reallocations of existing appropriation and a reduction to Bureau contingency of $289,554. The positions were approved by the Council in the fiscal year 2017-18 spring supplemental budget, but were inadvertently excluded from the adopted budget change memo. This amends attachments B, C, and E as necessary.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussions, questions? Is there any public testimony on this amendment? Seeing none, Carla, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Yu Daly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Motion carries. Next item, motion to amend the Bureau of Development Services budget. This reallocates $58 million from unappropriated ending fund balance in the Development Services Fund of the Bureau of Development Services to contingency in order to facilitate an interfund loan with the Housing Capital Fund. This amendment does not result in an increase to either fund's 2018-19 budget. This amends attachments B, C, and E as necessary.
I'll second it. Is there some reason the commissioner in charge isn't seconding it?
Oh, sorry. I didn't.
He's throwing another $58 million your way. I just want to make sure.
No.
I'm kidding. But just we're looking to you as the commissioner.
Okay. Well, we are happy to help. And to be clear, we'll be getting this money back. And it's money that I've learned I can't really spend on anything at all. So I'm glad that it can temporarily benefit the Housing Bureau.
Easy come, easy go.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any further discussion on this? Would anybody like to testify on this item? Seeing none, Carla, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Motion carries. Item number four, motion to amend attachment D specifically to add a budget note regarding the Office of Community Technology. In accordance with the budget note in the fiscal year 2017-18 adopted budget, an external consultant was engaged to evaluate options and make recommendations to council on the optimal location and structure for the Office for Community Technology, OCT, within the city's organizational framework. Based on these recommendations and consultation with city staff, council directs that the Office for Community Technology be established as a standalone office beginning in September of 2018. The council directs the Revenue Division and OCT staff to bring forward budgetary and position changes in the fiscal year 2018-19 fall budget monitoring process for council consideration. Council further directs OMF Facilities to develop options and plan for the physical relocation of OCT staff, with the relevant budgetary actions also brought forward during the fiscal year 2018-19 fall budget monitoring process.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any further discussion or questions? Would anyone like to testify on this item? Seeing none, Carla, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
I'm happy to see this move. I've been curious why OCT was in revenue and would have been happy to host them in one of my bureaus. But regardless, I'm looking forward to getting to know them better and working with them on digital equity. Aye.
Fritz?
It's one of the best bits of news I've heard all week, and I'm very, very excited about it. Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate you doing this to make sure it happens. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The motion carries. That, Director Scott, concludes my amendments. Anybody else have any amendments?
Great. There At this go. Point, we take public testimony on the entire budget, if there is any, and then after that, Council can move to a vote.
Very good. Public testimony.
No one signed up.
Very good. Any further discussion?
I just want to apologize for being slow on the draw with my second. I am so used to having to race to second every item with others on the council that I've just given up on seconding at all.
We were just looking to see if there's any creative tension between you and the mayor on this as the commissioner in charge. So,
there's always creative tension between the mayor and I.
As well, there should be.
Yes.
There should be. Good. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish.
We've had an opportunity to give statements about the budget prior to today, and I guess at the penultimate hearing, we already had a chance to make some statements on the record, so I'm going to be very brief. First, I want to say to the mayor, it is an accomplishment in our form of government to pass a budget with the concurrence of all of your colleagues. And I have served on this council when budgets have passed with less than five votes. And there's nothing in the charter that says you have to get five votes. But in my opinion, when a mayor goes the extra mile to meet as many of the priorities and values of his or her colleagues, we end up with a stronger document and we end up with a better budget process. So I want to start with the mayor and thank him and his team for going the extra mile to get to the consensus that it produced a 5-0 vote on
thank
the budget.
You. I
think that's
appreciate
very
that.
Important.
Thank you.
This budget balances a lot of competing demands. It reflects a lot of the council's shared values, and it includes a number, many of the priorities that each of us as individual office holders have been working on. You know, I want to, in particular, just acknowledge how pleased I am that we're making progress on the low-income discount program, which will be welcome news to cost-burdened renters. A lot of people in the community and at the Water Bureau have been working on this issue for a long time. I want to compliment them for their perseverance. I'm grateful that we're continuing an innovative program launched by Venture Portland to build capacity in business districts, particularly in Outer East and North Portland. I am pleased that we're continuing to fund our partnership with Elders in Action. I am thrilled that we have put in record funding to address what I think is morally the most urgent issue of our time, which is homelessness, and the record funding for the joint office and for addressing other aspects of this crisis, I think this council should be very proud of. I'm pleased that we restored some cuts at the Parks Bureau. As a former commissioner in charge of the Parks Bureau, I, who used to see cuts, you know, taken out of parks to fund housing, I know that any cut to that bureau causes heartburn. But I'm pleased that we softened the impact of some of those cuts, and I am again thought the process that brought the council together around a final budget was a positive one. While we are raising the business license fee in this budget, an aspect of that has not gotten, I think, enough attention is that we have finally honored a commitment that at least Dan and Commissioner Fritz and I made, I forget how many years ago, but I believe it was by either resolution or ordinance, we made a commitment over time to raise the business owner's compensation deduction to $125,000. And I don't consider that a hard floor, or ceiling, I should say, but it was a commitment we made, and I'm very pleased that we have had the opportunity to honor it. There are many other things in this budget that I like, and there's some things I don't like. But in the crafting of a budget, the name of the game is to balance a lot of different competing needs and reach consensus. And I. On balance, I think this is a good budget. This is the last budget that we will work with Andrew Scott on. He will be moving on to another job and will be giving us confidential information about the deliberations of Metro through a back channel, in the same way that Liam Frost has been so helpful in not having us understand what's going on in the chair's office. Andrew, it's been an absolute pleasure to work with you over these years. And our relationship has survived the fact that on a regular and somewhat alarming basis, you have said negative things about my budget request. And so I think it is a function of, but it is a function of the regard that you're held by your colleagues here, that when we create, you know, when we created this independent budget office, we knew that it meant that you were going to call it the way you saw it. And that sometimes, frankly, caused heartburn in discussions you've had with us, but it's exactly what the system was designed to do. And you were the perfect person to deliver sometimes the bad news about your assessment of cherished things that we were trying to get in the budget. So thank you, and we wish you well in your next assignment, and the city has been very fortunate to have your service. So thank you very much. I want to thank on my team my chief of staff, Sonia, Jamie Dunphy. I want to thank Todd, Amira, everybody in my office who's been working on the budget. And because in one way or another, everyone has touched this budget and been involved in helping to get to this moment, even if it includes communicating with constituents when we used to get emails or compiling documents or whatever. So everyone on my team, I want to say thank you. finally, I am very pleased that we have collectively made a commitment to thinking through in the next few months how we can engage the public more dynamically in the budget process. I think we've had for some time some frustration about trying to find that sweet spot of how we engage the public and then act on what they have to say. And I think it's reached the point that we're actually looking at making some significant changes. That's not a criticism of anyone who has guided our budget process to this point. I think it's also a recognition the world is changing. There's different ways of communicating. And how can we engage the public in a more dynamic way? So what we're not hearing exclusively is what people don't want to see cut, but we're engaging people and actually crafting our priorities and our budgets. So I am very pleased that we'll be working on that. And I hope it changes the tenor and tone of some of our public meetings that we have, when we engage the public a little differently and not just invite them to tell us what we shouldn't cut, but help us imagine how we invest a limited pot of funds. So with all that said, again, thank you to everyone who has worked on this budget. Thank you to my colleagues. I vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Mayor Wheeler, and all the council for the hard work we've all done in getting to this point, and I want to recognize the hard work of the budget office and all of our personal staffs as well, and want to wish Director Scott the best of luck and as Deputy COO at Metro. It's a dynamic place to be, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it, and I'm sure you'll bring a lot of good insights that you've gained here over your tenure as budget director that will serve Metro well under their new leadership as well. So I do think this is also my last budget. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to sort of echo the observation Commissioner Fish just made, as I do hope we figure out a better way to do our budget processes, because it does only bring out, and maybe there's nothing you can ever do about it to change that, but our budget processes only attract people that don't want to cut their programs. Our public doesn't really want to engage in many of these broader discussions that we like to have at the lofty level of goals and visions and opportunities. Instead, they're responding to an email alert they get from somebody within a bureau or somebody on a budget advisory committee that says, you know, we're going to cut, everybody's been asked to cut 5%. You know what that means. You know, we're going to get all these dynamics. And we see, as a result, the same constituencies at virtually every budget I've been through in almost 20 years of doing this. So we've got to figure out a fresher, more relevant approach to engage our people and to engage our residents and to structure our hearings differently. And, you know, one thing I told our Bill Farver, the mayor's consultant on this process of how to refresh our budget process, is maybe we need to look at the way the county does it, which is they hold their public hearings after the chair has put forward a proposed budget. In this case, it would be the mayor putting forward a proposed budget, because then people really know whether they have to worry or not. Right now, people, they're reacting, as I said. They get an email alert. They think, instinctively, I've got to show up, you know, wear my red shirt, whatever, and be against a cut. That's all they know, and that's all they come to say. But if they know, if you have a proposed budget, I would argue, is probably, you know, 99% what the actual budget ends up being. Then they know whether they really have to worry or not. And I think that's a better dynamic to engage our residents on. So I do hope that's a change this council will consider making, and you, Mayor, will consider making that as too, is have the public hearings after a proposed budget. It'll make a lot more sense, I believe. And I do hope that we will revisit the financial policies I would like to have this body adopt that would also bring more transparency to how we conduct our bump processes and more accountability on our parts about how we spend major sources of general fund revenue, and that we do it as part of our budget process. We don't do it as part of our bump processes, where nobody knows what the bump is. We have no public involvement on decisions regarding our bump. We have no budget committees, nobody looking at it. So I think we've got to bring that stuff in the light of day, and it'll foster, I believe, a better decision-making environment and a better ability to weigh the trade-offs we're making. So I haven't given up on those. I was hoping maybe to have them done by your last day here, Andrew, but keep watching. Okay. I hope to get that done in the next few weeks. So, again, thanks to everybody. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Udaly?
Well, this year's budget process was certainly more challenging than last year's, and but also more satisfying. I realize now that's because the mayor and I came in about halfway through the budget process, which is basically a year-round event. It's maybe the most important part of our job, setting this budget, balancing needs with wants, current needs with future needs, and expressing our values and setting our priorities for the city. I think, as most of you know, I certainly didn't get everything that I hoped to get, and I compromised on things that I felt strongly about, but I remain cautiously optimistic that our increase in the police budget is going to result in a decrease in response time as well as a decrease in reliance on overtime in the next 18 months to 2 years, so I'll be watching that closely. I'm very pleased we increased our commitment to keeping people in their housing through eviction prevention as well as providing more shelter to people experiencing homelessness. I think we're the only West Coast city that saw a decrease in homeless individuals on the street, not homeless overall, but on the street, which is something to be proud of. We were able to soften the blow to our neighborhood coalitions in our redistribution of coalition funds to bring equity to EPNO. I appreciate that. And finally, probably the most meaningful thing to me was that we fully funded our portion of a universal defense project to help protect immigrants and refugees from unjust removal and deportation. And I would just like to share with you all today a victory that for all sanctuary cities, in that the city of Philadelphia obtained a decision in the city's favor against the Justice Department on its unconstitutional efforts to require cities to adhere to its demands to renounce their sanctuary policies towards immigrants. The court concluded that Section 1373 amounted to commandeering under the Murphy versus NCAA decision, and that DOJ violated the Administrative Procedures Act in its efforts to amend policy by fiat. The court essentially found for the city on all its claims, and the city of Portland has been supporting Philadelphia's litigation efforts. So this is a controversial issue, and I've certainly faced my fair share of criticism for standing up for our immigrant and refugee community members, and that decision just strengthens my resolve. I'm also looking forward to changes coming in our budget process, especially around public engagement. I think this year's experience was frustrating for everyone involved, and I believe the public wants to participate in a more meaningful way, but we have to do a better job giving them adequate tools and with communications. So thank you to the mayor and my colleagues. Thank you to Andrew Scott and the budget office. We're going to be saying goodbye to Andrew later today, and I heard there'll be a dunk tank, which even I feel like is a little bit mean to do to Andrew.
Nah.
I will not be in the dunk tank, just in case anyone's grabbing their keys and rushing down to City Hall. I want to thank my staff, especially my chief of staff, Marshall, my policy team, Jamie Duhamel, Winta Johannes, and Pollyanne Burge. And most of all, I want to thank the community members who weighed in on the budget through written or oral testimony or stalking me on Facebook. Duly noted, and I'm looking forward to better engagement next year. Aye.
Fritz.
I'm going to start by thanking Andrew Scott. Your leadership of the City Budget Office, the independent City Budget Office, taking it from a fledgling to a soaring success has been absolutely outstanding. And I think I know that you have shown there is no question that the independent City Budget Office is needed, and have begun to show exactly what it can do. This latest dashboard, I think, is another example of that, and you have expanded it beyond just the budget period, but throughout the year, looking at performance management and how can we do better. And you have paid attention to equity in every way that I have been hoping and have set us on the way of that. So thank you very much for your leadership. I gave a long speech in May when we approved the budget, so I won't repeat what I said then. I do keep hearing about how the budget process was broken this year, and I don't share that perspective. The Independent City Budget Office did fantastic work reviewing the budget submissions, the Bureau budget submissions, and making recommendations on how we could balance the budget. Even when I disagree with those recommendations, I greatly value their insights and analysis. The budget forums may not be fun. They are a necessary part of the budget process. There must be opportunities for the public to weigh in on the budget decisions we are making. While contradancing may sound like a trivial pursuit to some people, to seniors who build their week around it and find companionship and great joy in participating, it is a big deal and they need to be heard. This is true of every budget decision we make. There is a constituency and we need to hear their concerns. And then there is the council action on the mayor's proposed budget. We have a responsibility in our legislative roles to review the proposal and negotiate changes. And that's why I disagree with my colleague, Commissioner Saltzman. I don't think that having the budget, the hearings after the proposed budget is the right way to go about it. So the involvement of council has happened in every budget that I've participated in over the last 10 years, and it should continue to happen. So when I keep hearing about the broken budget process, I don't buy it. I look forward to hearing the recommendations of the consultant reviewing our budget process. If those recommendations diminish the role of the City Budget Office, if they limit the opportunity for public input, if they give more power and authority to the Office of Management and Finance, if they undermine the responsibility of the four commissioners to help shape the final budget and try to make the city budget process more like a so-called strong executive system, which we are not, I will strenuously oppose those changes, and I hope others will join me. Even in the so-called strong mayor city manager form of government, all elected officials have power in the budget process, and I know that Mayor Wheeler respects that, and that's how it needs to continue to be. Yesterday, the mayor called for the bureaus to work more collaboratively to make the city function better. That will only happen if the council is also working together collaboratively. This budget process was a good example of council working together collaboratively, including the second floor as full partners, and I hope we can build off this good output. Thanks in particular to Tim Crail on my staff for all of your work throughout the 10 years that I've been here. All of my staff also, and I associate myself with Commissioner Fisher's comments. So clearly the one of the key questions moving forward is the Parks Bureau. And it needs to be said that one of the reasons park has been challenged in recent budgets is that the city is finally starting to pay many of the park staff at rates closer to living wages. And I am proud of that. And we should not be saying that just because we're paying you $15 an hour, you no longer have a job because we can't afford you. The services are services that people need. I'm very glad that we funded the long-range plan and the fiscal sustainability plans in this current budget, and I will begin talking about with folks over the summer what can be funded and what cuts do we need to make for the ongoing financial sustainability. And that's how it should happen. It should happen outside of the budget process and not within it, or as well as within it. I hope to guide that process. Whether or not I'm the commissioner in charge, I will always support parks. I did before I was elected, I did before I was assigned to be commissioner of charge, and I have for the past 5 budgets. I will continue to vote to support parks funding for the remainder of my time in office. Parks and community engagement make Portland special. Funding them is necessary. It's important, as well as public safety, housing, transportation, utilities, and the other things that we do. Everything is important to somebody. Parks are important to almost everyone. And I believe that we need to respect that and continue to figure out what services Portlanders want to buy and how we want to pay for them. That's the discussion that we need to have over the next several months. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, first of all, You know, I'll take this opportunity to thank a lot of people. I spent a lot of time reflecting on what it means to be mayor, what it means to be entrusted with this privilege of serving in this capacity. And it's actually really exciting to be able to be engaged in a process like this where you really can make a difference in addressing and reflecting the needs of the community. And we couldn't do that work without the community's active engagement and participation in this process. And so I first and foremost want to thank everybody in the community who took the time to be engaged, regardless of what side they were on any particular budget issue or item. A few days after a California election, which only drew 13% of the total population, in a state where, like Oregon, they make it super easy to vote, demonstrates to me that there's a lot of skepticism and apathy about, or perhaps in the relationship between government and the people that government is supposed to be serving. And so I want to thank everybody who was not apathetic, people, in fact, who are very passionate and in many ways emphatic about their engagement in this process. I want to thank you. Second of all, I want to thank my colleagues. I want to assure the public that we don't always agree. And as I, Commissioner Udaly and I had sort of a fun back and forth yesterday, and we both stated that it's actually really important that we not agree on everything and that we have open discussions and dialogues about differences of opinion on policy or difference of opinion on solutions or even difference of opinion on priorities. And I can tell the public, even when we're meeting personally behind closed doors, there's a lot of differences and nuances and ideas that get exchanged throughout this process. And I can tell you that the final product here changed from the initial proposed budget. And I want to be very clear with my colleagues. You strengthened this budget. Your participation and your engagement and the engagement of your teams and your staffs made it a better product. And that's really important to me that we had that level of engagement. And I personally, I want to thank each and every one of you for that opportunity. The budget team, it goes without saying, you guys are rock stars. Andrew, we are going to miss you. And I've said this, I think, three times, and you keep showing up again.
You can't get me.
But I think we stop paying you effective tomorrow. So I probably won't have too many more opportunities. This is your last budget. You've been here a lot longer than I have in this position. And I hope that you hear the respect being expressed both by myself and my colleagues. Claudio, you're stepping in as the interim, and we're very, very appreciative of that. We know that you'll continue the good work. And I want to thank the hard work of the budget team. And I want to thank you all personally for the many, many, many hours you spent with me. That could not have been fun. But I hope you at least found it meaningful, if not fun. To the department heads, bureau heads, there's a number who are here today. I'm actually gratified to see you here today. You don't really have to be here today. This is a bit pro forma when we get to the final vote. But the fact that you're here, I think, demonstrates an interest and a commitment in the overall enterprise. And I want to thank you and your leadership teams for coming in and sharing your thoughts and your ideas and, frankly, your candid criticism of some of the early proposals that were put on the table. In many cases, you were able to provide very, very compelling arguments or provide a different approach that got us to the same solution by doing something smarter or better or in a more innovative or more cost-effective way. And that's super important. Definitely want to thank my team. I just had an A-plus team working on this, and I'm glad to see. I don't know if anybody's left in my office. It seems like they all came down here, which is great. I think each and every one of my team were in some way invested in this budget process, and I want to thank all of you. I particularly want to acknowledge Kristen Dennis, who even with a lot going on in her life, exciting stuff, being a new mom and everything else, she committed to this budget process with resolve and tenacity. And Maurice Henderson, my chief of staff, the other guy who's leaving that I'm sorry to see go, but like Director Scott, is going on to bigger and to better. And I'll say this about you, Director Scott. We don't want people who other people don't want. And so the fact that both of you are going off to higher responsibilities in the community, that's a win for all of us. And it will strengthen the relationships. And as Commissioner Fish said, that gives us some spies in important places. And we most definitely need that. I'm just going to jump to the end and say thank you to everybody in this room right now. Had something to do with it. Everybody watching on TV had something to do with it. Everybody in the community had something to do with it. It's another step along the path to making our city a better place for everybody. I vote aye. The budget's adopted. Now for the fun part, huh?
Yes, one more ordinance before you to levy taxes. And again, this action includes the levy amount for property taxes accruing to the general fund, the Children's Investment Fund, and the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund. And it also includes property tax levies for general obligation, bonded debt, and 16 urban renewal areas.
Very good. So again, this is an ordinance. Is there any public testimony on this item? Is there any further question on the part of the council? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I just wanted to take this opportunity, to thank Portland voters for the fact that there is a line item in this budget, and there will be for the next 5 years, for the Children's Investment Fund, which we all know as the Portland Children's Levy, which was renewed by 83% of Portland voters on May 15th. To keep it going for another 5 years. So, and it's going to be the same amount that you're paying right now, 40 cents per thousand of assessed value for the next 5 years beyond this year's budget, too. So I just want to say thank you, Portland voters. Aye.
Hugh Daly.
Aye.
Fritz.
When I ran for office in 2008 and then again in 12 and 16, I promised to look out for basic services, for education and jobs, and to spend taxpayers' money wisely. And that's what this budget does, and that's what I think about every day that I'm in office, is that taxes pay for services, and it's our responsibility to spend these taxes as wisely as possible, listening to the community and deciding how to do that. So thanks to everybody for paying all your taxes, fees, and other things that help provide the money to provide these services. Aye.
Wheeler.
So I'll just echo my colleagues on this. Nobody likes taxes. It's always sort of a downer to have to vote on this last. I always felt like maybe we should move this first. But I hope as the public that we represent evaluates this budget, and I hope they do use the cool budget tool that you outlined earlier, they will see that the priorities that are funded in this budget, I believe, are highly consistent with the priorities of the people who live in this community, who pay the bills around here. We focused on the homeless issue. We focused on livability issues. We focused on affordable housing issues. We focused on public safety issues. We focused on the parks and critical transportation infrastructure. I believe we focused on the things that the people in this community expect us to focus on. In fact, I have a great deal of confidence that that's the case. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted, and we're adjourned.